when we just consider this word, it was written, it was compiled or written over 2,500 years ago is when the last parts were written. There's 66 books. You just think about all the authors. I think it's over 40 authors, from shepherds to kings to military men to prophets. All these people wrote, not knowing what the other one was writing. And what we have today is just this miraculous weaving of God's word. And what's so amazing to me is how applicable it is to us here today. We could take it to the far places in Asia, to the Middle East, and we got very different cultures, but this word is applicable to mankind. And so it's with that today that I just want to share out of the book of Matthew, and it's in chapter 5, as you just heard a bit ago, the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, they're so interesting, and they're for us. They're written to us as believers. They're written to people that have responded to God's word and his invitation to have repentance, forgiveness of sins. And so let's just read those same verses that were read. We'll read from verse number 1, and we'll go down to verse number 14. And it says this out of Matthew chapter 5, "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that has been set on a hill cannot be hidden." And we'll stop there. And he's speaking to us there about being the salt of the earth, being a light. And I've been just over several months' time, when I've been asked to speak, I've been speaking on the Beatitudes here, because they're just so, this inward life that we struggle with. And we talked the other night at a Bible study just about secret thoughts. And do you realize how we're being bombarded with thoughts? And what happens as we listen and as we're exposed to them more, they become our thoughts. And that's really dangerous. That's really scary when the wrong person that's got evil desires for you is putting thoughts in your head. And so the Beatitudes, they really get into the inner man. And just briefly, for those that weren't here, I mean, you can really expound on each one of these, but the poor in spirit, as is in verse number 3 there, poor in spirit is recognizing that we don't have our act together, that we're sinners, that, you know, can you imagine having to stand up here and talk about all your failings and all your sins and misdeeds? If you did that, you would start to understand what poor in spirit means. There's things in my life that I'm just utterly ashamed of, and I recognize, and I think we recognize how poor we are and in need of God. The next one says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And sometimes, and I think we can, you can, we can see this mourning for our country, maybe for your children, for our city. Maybe they passed some laws that are just horrible. In fact, this I read this week where, you know what the leading cause of death is in the world? Abortion. Killing babies. That's the number one cause of death. Over 42 million this past year. Would that cause you to mourn and say, oh? How about the plane that got shot down in Iran? That just, you don't even know those people, but it's just like, oh. So the evil, and we mourn, it says that we'll be comforted. And going on, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And these are closely related, but just to recognize again our need of the Lord, and then to recognize, what does it say? Think of your brother better than you. That's this meekness, this humility, and that's a tough one for us. You get that down, and you are making progress in the kingdom of God. It says, a few weeks ago, we talked about, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Maybe you hear some of these, and you say, yeah, well, you know, I don't know. But to hunger and thirst and say, no, God, I don't know, you know, how to get poor enough in spirit or how to be humble like you're talking about. But here's what he does for us. All we have to do is ask and hunger and thirst. And it says, they shall be filled. Today, I would like to talk with you about verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And in God's kingdom is what he's talking about here. Position and authority, money, they're just not important in his kingdom. It is in our kingdom, right? You say what you do for a job or who your dad is or who your parent is or whatever. And that's important to us. But in God's kingdom, what matters is faithful obedience. And from the heart. You just think about in the scriptures, the many stories we can see. Whenever someone got proud, it started with Satan, right? Pride is not a good thing, but we can humble, and in humble obedience. And for me as just a father, those that you that have children, and I think even that don't, can relate. When you ask someone, if you're maybe a supervisor at work, you ask them to do something, you bet, boss, and they just go off and do it. That's just nice. I've come to learn at work where I work that we got guys that are just really talented. But sometimes that talent, I don't know if you find this as a contractor, the talented, they get a little arrogant. Yeah, they're good. Uh-huh. So then when you ask them to do something lowly, it's like, you're talking to me? But how about the guy that just says, you bet, boss? Now think of our Heavenly Father, and when he says to have mercy, and we do it willingly, how pleasing that is to the Lord. We're created in his image. And so we can understand some of these feelings. But the Beatitudes, they're a standard of conduct for all believers. And they contrast God's kingdom, his values, with worldly values. And it's like contrasting day and night. It's very different. So they contrast superficial faith, as we see with the Pharisees, the religious leaders in the New Testament that we read about. They were always dressing up nice and on the corner. Everything was just right. and they looked good. But what Christ demands is real faith. And, you know, just thinking about some of the stories, the accounts in the Bible, and then just thinking of us in our lowly state. I mean, think of that widow or the old lady that came in the temple and she dropped the one coin in the box. And Jesus said, that lady right there. So can you, does that give you some confidence to say, wow, I don't have to be, you know, this really talented person in front of people, but God really values when it's from the heart. The Beatitudes, they don't promise us laughter. They don't promise us pleasure. They don't promise us prosperity here on earth. But being blessed, what he talks about being blessed, means that God, we can have the experience of hope and joy, and it's independent of our outward circumstances. Okay, so just, it's so, you know, we're on a roller coaster. You think about it, from day to day, your team wins and you're up, and your team loses and you're in a funk for how long, and you know, whatever happens, the dog messes on the floor, and it just, you know, but to have an experience of joy and hope and peace that is independent of our outward circumstances, this is what it means to be blessed by the Lord. This fifth beatitude, it's really searching us, and it's testing us, and it gets uncomfortable here. This testing Christianity in our part of the world, if you think about it, we're not having the influence like maybe we've heard about or seen in times past. It's my understanding in China, there's a great movement. In the persecuted times, they just flourish. In Iran, I read late last year, I think it was, I think the number one country for new believers was Iran. And then you get really excited to think about now this plane being shot down and some protests and who knows what will happen, but can we pray for our Iranian brothers and sisters that could have freedom to worship? Where was I? So, our influence. Why do you think that is, that we might be seeing a decrease in influence in our part of the world? And you always hear about this, hypocrisy. Okay? And this is what this beatitude is getting at, is some hypocrisy. So we know how to say the right things, we know how to put up the right calendar or the poster, but we don't obey. Jesus says to be merciful to others, and here's where it gets down to the nitty-gritty and it can hurt. We lay down our grudges, our unforgiveness, our bitterness, choosing mercy at every opportunity. And so I just want us to think today, sometimes, I don't know if you just think back to being a kid or how your dad was or what, but, you know, when you're told to say sorry to your brother or sister, and you're like, I ain't saying sorry, you know? Well, and then, I don't know, did you ever have your dad, like, grab you and put the fear of God in you, and all of a sudden you had this change of heart, and you're like, oh yeah, I forgive you, you know, my brother or my sister. And he's if we could think of that today, I want us to think about the mercies. I'm traveling, I put in a prayer request, I'm traveling tonight, and I'm going overseas. I'm going to be going by North Korea, in China, and over to Thailand. And what makes me think that plane is any different than the one that got shot down in Iran? You think North Korea's got some testing they might do and not forget to tell someone? The mercy of God. Okay, we read in our paper, on the news every day, traveling down the road. There was a head-on yesterday, a young woman was killed from our town. What about us? It's just for the mercy of God. And, you know, as we think about our prayer time tonight. It's the real work of the kingdom is to come and pray. I can just think in my own life, you know, there's been plenty of times being here, running through your little list. You've heard the pastor talk about it. Lord God, help me and my wife and my two kids, us four and no more. Our prayers can get real short, our lists. And there's been times where I've been here and I went through my list and it's like, wow, there's still 45 minutes left. What am I going to pray for? It's work. And as we thirst, as we hunger, as we look, and hear even the requests brought before the church, God will help us. But there's times where it's okay to come and just sit and be before God. And maybe you run through your list and you run out. But let me just tell you what I've experienced myself. I mean, there's things I don't even know about that I've prayed, and maybe they made a difference. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But it was January of 2004. And we had prayer. I was here. I prayed. I remember there's just been times where I had prayer grab a hold of me, like, I didn't know why, but I was just fervent. And it was January 28th of 2004 that I was in a plane crash. I was in a little plane, and it went down into the ground, and it was a mess. And God spared me, and it was His mercy. And so it's those kinds of times when you experience mercy. Now, when it comes to showing mercy, you recognize that I didn't deserve it. But I would just like to say, during that time of prayer, I don't know what night it was, but I know that prayer in the month of January probably was connected to that plane crash. And I've had family emergencies where, it's one thing to call and ask someone to pray in a panic, but then to have that confidence to know that you prayed when the time was okay. And you have opportunity to do that today, and we want to do that today, and you have the opportunity to do that tonight. So we see God's mercy in our lives, and I would just ask you to kind of let some of those times in life, because what happens is when we grasp the reality of how merciful God's been to us, and listen, we didn't deserve it. We're not talking about because you showed up for prayer, because you're at church today, you won't get hurt tomorrow. We're talking about undeserved mercy. And when we understand God's mercy is not because of anything we've done, now here's what He wants to do. He wants us to show mercy when someone's done something wrong to us. And, you know, by nature, none of us are merciful by nature. It's not something that comes naturally. When we show mercy, it's in response to realizing this mercy we experience from God. And if we don't grasp that the wages of sin is death, that all have sinned, that a judgment is coming, if we don't see that and see that God has spared us from that, then we don't really see that we've received this undeserved mercy. But when we grasp it, it helps us to act in ways that are in line with His kingdom. So our personal experience of mercy, it can kind of be seen in two areas. Forgiveness of sin, that initial being born again, cleansing, recognizing that God has paid the price for our sin. And then, I think as we'll all recognize, it's not just you're on the fast track from there and there's no more sin, right? There's our tempers, there's our lack of patience, there's our falling and stumbling, and so it's coming before God day after day. God, I need You. So these two ways, that initial and then just this ongoing mercy that we receive. And then as we brought up a couple examples about traveling mercies the like, Sister Janie brought up a situation the other night in prayer about our borders and refugees. And it's so difficult to think about, you know, the young kids that are being kept, and maybe they're with their parents, maybe they're, it's just And so there's many situations that can let us see starving people. This time of weather, I've seen a guy, certain people, they just walk in the streets, and you just, you know, what do we do here? So how do we show mercy? Well, here's what this is talking about in large part. We show mercy by responding with kindness when others annoy us, when they mistreat us, when they criticize us, when they speak against us. See, that's what we've done when we sinned. When we sinned, we're flagrantly telling God we don't think he's God or what. And when so this mercy that we've received is not deserved. And so God wants us, and he enables us to show this same mercy to people. So I guess my things about people being homeless and all that, you know, maybe that does tug at our hearts. Maybe that's a little different category, but think about the person that offends you, and now you show mercy. This is where you're entering into the kingdom of God. Will we be willing? You think of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, that's a really good example for us about the guy that was walking by, and he just really showed mercy to a man. He wasn't offended by that man, but Jesus, we look at him. He was spit upon. He was whipped. Those people didn't deserve his mercy, but he gave it. So they shall receive mercy. That's our reward for being merciful. Being repentant means recognizing the great mercy of God and in turn seeking mercy for others. So if we look back at that previous beatitude, it says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with the ability to be merciful when we're offended, when we're spoken against. And so this kind of to go along with it, this message that we heard about coming before the throne of grace, I hope today by looking at how God has been so merciful to us, we can approach him and just say, thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve. How many times you read, you know, I the 9 people that were killed in a small plane out of Idle Falls a few months ago, all of them, they died. Is there any difference between them and me? None. God's mercy. So today, I'm going to ask Sister Rube to come up and to share our prayer request. But here's what we heard as a devotion the other night. It said this: the purpose of church is to come before this throne. And so the singing should help point us there. The message should help point us there. And then what the pastor said during this message is, you got to get there. You got to get before the throne of grace. It's there. There's mercy. There's grace there, but you have to get there. So how many times have we come to church and we've done the songs, you put your thing in the offering, and you listened to the word, and then you went out to eat, and you were, you know, you did the church thing. But did you make it to the throne of grace? That's the purpose. And so whether I'm eloquent, whether we hit all the right notes, that's just beside the point. But today, you have an opportunity to just devote your heart and your mind and to come before our Lord. So Sister Rube, if you would come and share the prayer needs, and then we're just going to have a song after that and have a time where you can devote your heart to the Lord.